Welcome to the Sounds of Success, brought to you by the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. This audio magazine is a tool for generating profitable ideas and for taking your business to new levels of excellence and performance. Here you'll find real-life case studies of school owners just like you who have applied our proven successful business and marketing principles to their school and are creating the business of their dreams as a result.
Hello.
Oh, yes, hello.
Jason.
Hey, Toby, how you doing?
Wonderful. How are you today?
Okay, great. How you doing?
Oh, fantastic. I'm so glad you made it.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, outstanding, outstanding. Well, listen, we'll go ahead and get started then. On the call with us today is Jason Yee from Woodbridge, Virginia, and actually he's one of our Inner Circle members at NAMA. And a fantastically successful martial arts school and a very bright entrepreneurialistic school owner. And we wanted to kind of bring him, you know, to you today because Jason has some fantastic marketing techniques he's been using to fill his school, which, by the way, is over $1 million a year gross school. So very successful martial arts entrepreneur, and we're really proud to have him on the team. And we have lots of things today to talk about, Jason. First of all, why don't you just give us a little bit of a kind of a background on you and your school, and maybe a little bit of your martial arts background, and kind of where your school is at right now.
Okay.
And we'll talk about, you know, what it takes to get you there.
Okay. Let's see. I've been doing this this martial arts school, operating this school since 1998. So this is the 10th year of anniversary of operating this school. And I'm mainly teaching, Taekwondo, Hapkido, and Tangsudo as well. And myself, actually I was born and raised in South Korea. I came here in 1990. And then I've been, doing this, martial arts as a hobby all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, I went to school when I came here. Actually, when I came here as an international student, and then I had a part-time job as a teaching classes. That was back in like 91 or so. And it seems like I always wanted to do it. I mean, it makes me feel so great helping, especially young students, learning this martial art, and then I'm seeing their changing toward positive way. So it makes me, feel great. I can do something that, influence, especially youngsters to the successful and positive way of their life. So the fact that I can do something like that, that makes me feel so great. So since then,
I've
been doing this martial arts, right? So, and then I had a chance to, actually, I took over this, school that was back in 1998, and then until that time, from that time until now, and I've been operating this, location here, and I would say it's been very successful. Last, 2 years in a row, and my whole gross the sales is more than $1 million a year.
Yeah, absolutely. So how many students do you have in the school over there?
Right now, I just checked it. It's 567 students.
Okay, 567 students, and about, I think you said you did about 1.3 million last year, the last time we talked.
Right.
Okay, so very, very, high student value, about $200 a month student value. Okay, and you've been in that location 10 years. About how big is your building? About how big is the school?
My current location here is about 5,600 square feet.
Okay. Interesting. And I know we had talked about all this, and some of our listeners, in a lot of cases, Master Yee, they think, oh my gosh, $1 million a year school, it must be a, 20,000 square foot warehouse with, cardio kickboxing and tai chi and tanning booths and all those things. But yours is a very traditional taekwondo school, and you have a very strong youth program. And it's 5,600 square feet,
right.
So it's not the $30,000 a month in rent, you know, type of a facility. You have a very modest facility and a very successful school. So I think that's definitely something that, that martial arts school owners should open their mind to.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, you know, the 15,000 square foot, you know, behemoth.
Right.
You know, we didn't talk about this in our last meeting, but Stephen Oliver and Keith Hafner had a conversation, and he Keith used to talk about that big monster school he had, and he used to call it like feeding the monster. Every month they had to feed the beast because, you know, the nut was so big. It's, you know, $60,000 or $70,000 to keep the doors open. So, you know, that becomes a self-defeating prophecy sometimes. Well, good. So you're in 5,600 square feet. You have about 560 students, and you're grossing over $1 million a year, almost $1.5 million. We wanted to talk a little bit today about three different topics, and one of the things that the listeners may or may not know about our mastermind groups is there are only three ways to grow a business. There are only three ways to grow a martial arts school. Number one is increasing enrollment, you know, enrolling more students.
Right.
Number two is increasing retention, which means obviously you keep them longer training in the school, therefore your school grows. And number three is increasing the value of the student relative to the financial results in the school. And the first topic is creating new enrollments, and that was what we wanted to spend a little bit of our time on today. You have some really interesting marketing techniques you've been using in the school, and especially internet. Let's save internet for a little bit later, but why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, the main one or two things that you do in your school to generate enrollments on a consistent basis month to month?
Right, exactly. The internet, that's one of the most powerful, you know, tools to generating more leads. Interesting thing is that the last couple of years, and then I checked my stats, my internet marketing is, second, you know, biggest generating the leads.
Mm-hmm.
And we have located in the prime location in the shopping center, so of course, a lot of walk-ins. That's, you know, the first, the biggest way to generating the leads. The second, you know, biggest to generating the leads is the internet. We put, you know, let's say 2-3 years ago, I look at my internet, and then all of a sudden I realized I never opened the Yellow Pages in order to find something that I want. So I assume that most of the people, when people looking for martial arts schools or karate schools, they probably go for, you know, Google's or Yahoo instead of, you know, open up a Yellow Pages.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the place that I need to put my, the marketing monies and all this stuff. So I looked around, and then I start searching around how to advertisement and then Google's and Yahoo's and all this stuff. And one of the good things is that I get to learn the strong internet marketing from Master Oliver's the packet. It shows great information since then, and I just put a lot of efforts on this, doing this marketing. So internet is one of the biggest the way to generating the leads.
Yeah, and it certainly seems to be much more of the trend. Like you said, you know, the general market now, their immediate inclination is not to go reach for the Yellow Pages. Like you said, it's in many cases, in most cases now, is going to the internet. And the new statistic, by the way, Jason, we this statistic wasn't out when we had our last meeting, but in 2007, which is last year, let's go 2006, 2 years ago, the average household, the estimation was about 62% of American households use the internet to research product buys. As of last year, 2007, that number is over 70% now. So 7 out of every 10 families, when they want to make a buying decision, their inclination is to go to the internet and research that decision, if it's buying a car, if it's selecting a daycare, or if it's, you know, selecting a martial arts program. So it definitely seems to be more and more of the trend. Tell us a little bit about your marketing, your internet presence. There are a lot of ways to generate traffic on the internet. What were the first couple things that you did to get your website ready to go and to get an internet marketing package put together?
Exactly. That one of the most important things to generate more leads from internet, you have to have a good website. That website has to be friendly with the prospect. most of the, you know, the school owners, they have their own website, but that website has no marketing tools. There's no any type of the sales stuff. They basically, that what they say is about their school, their style of the martial arts, their teaching and instructors' experience. But in, the most of the time, the people, they don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they want is, you know, what kind of the benefits they can get from this the schools for their kids or for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do, we have to make, you know, good lead generating kind of a website. That's what we have to have.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, once you have this website, and then you have to market this website. How? You know, there's some way that you can put the Googles and Yahoo, there's a sponsor search marketing. It's easy to find it when you go to Google and Yahoo, and you can go, you know, sponsor search marketing, and there's a, you know, pay-per-click type of advertisement you can do. And beside that, there's another local search, and then mm-hmm. you know, actually in the Google, you can put your, you know, website as a free. So if you do that, and it's going to blow your mind. I mean, it's going to, you know, you're going to have a great result.
Yeah, yeah. Let me stop you right there for a second, because you just gave away one of the keys to the castle, and which is fine, which is good actually. Let me reframe that just a little bit. The number one step is you have to have a website that's going to convert leads. So let's go back to that, and then we'll talk about how to get traffic there. You said, you know, many school owners just have, you know, their martial arts pedigree and their instructor's experience and things like that.
Right.
What's the difference between that and the type of website that you're talking about? What's sort of the difference in philosophy, and what does the website look and feel like, that sort of thing? What should it look like?
First of all, I made the same mistake before. What happened, and I, you know, made our, you know, website for our school, and on our website, what I put was on this website was, you know, about the style of the martial arts and all the pictures of our activities and introductions about all the instructors and all the stuff. I mean, that's nothing's wrong with that. That's great. But mm-hmm. that is great for current students.
Mm-hmm.
That is the something for I would say for myself and for as a school owner. When people search the karate or martial arts schools on internet, when they look at it, they looking for something for them and for their kids, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about most of the time they don't care about the experience of these instructors. What they care about is what they can teach for their child.
Right.
In our case, it's about 70% of the students is kids. So parents search the internet and looking for karate schools, and the first thing they, you know, what they're looking for is how this school is going to, you know, teach my child. They have a good, you know, program for character development, or you know, things like that. So we have to, when you make a website, you have to, how do I say? I'm sorry, my English is my second language.
Okay, no, you do fantastic. For only being here, you know, 12 years, you're very good.
And so you have to, our level of this website, or the way we talk on this website, we have to level it to prospects' eye level. You see what I'm
right.
trying to say?
Absolutely.
Right.
I think to put it in other words, I think you're exactly right. Many people, build a site, or they have, you know, the 17-year-old student build their website or whatever it may be, and their focus at the time is what they want to tell you about their school, instead of what is it, what's in it for the customer, what's in it for the prospect. And that's one of the things, if you have a pen down, if you're listening to the call right now, you should jot this down, is WIIFM, what's in it for me. And that's coming from the prospect standpoint. So the type of site that you're building, and the type of site that converts leads very well for you, is talking directly to the parent or talking directly to the prospect about what's in it for them. Why should they pick up the phone right now and call you? Why should they come down to your school and enroll? And why should they be ultimately become a black belt one day? Does that sound accurate?
All right, that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So number one, that's the web design. That's how the site should look and feel, and that's how the difference in thinking it takes to be able to kind of develop that. And then the second thing you talked about is how to drive traffic. So let's talk a little bit about that. There's two different ways to drive traffic to a site. Number one is free, and number two is paid.
Right.
And let's talk a little bit about the free version. And you gave a great tool, Yahoo and Google Local. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
The first thing, in order to market your website, let's say there's search engine optimizations. But I was, studying about this search engine optimization. It's way, way too complicated. So what I did, like the whole 1 month, I was looking at all these different sources. To me, I just gave up. It's too much. So what I did, I just hired somebody to do this search engine optimizations. Professional, it's way, way worth my investment. So
sure,
that's
sure.
What I did at the search engine optimization. And besides that, there's something school owners can easily market their website on the internet. Now, most of the time people, when they search certain, something, first thing they do, they go to Google or Yahoo. Besides it, there's MSN, some other stuff, but this is most popular search engines. Now, when you go to Google and Yahoo, there's two different things. Now, number one, and especially our martial arts schools, our prospects and students, they're coming from, 3 to 5 miles of radius?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to market your school to whole nationwide. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to do that. So what you need to do is that when you go to see the Google and Yahoo, go to local result. Let's say you can put karate in name of your town. My name of my town is Woodbridge, so I put karate in Woodbridge, Virginia. Then there's two different things. The result came out. Number one is whole general the result. Another thing is that it's a local search result. So when you go to the local search result, you can list your martial arts school, or your school is already listed. The Google is free. Yahoo is very, very reasonable. There's three different type of the program. It costs only like $40, $50, or $60 per month.
Mm-hmm.
When you compare this to a Yellow Pages, this is really, really, really reasonable price.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you get the great result. So you can just play around. You can just pick any of this program on Yahoo Local, and then there's another thing you do is that there's the review sections.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can talk to your staff member. Put some of the good reviews. If you have a better, more good reviews, then you have more chance to locate your website on top of this list. So that's the first thing you need to do. And beside that, there's another thing is sponsor search, the marketing. Basically, when you go to Google or Yahoo and say sponsor search marketing, and then you'd be able to find this website. And it's kind of hard to explain. This is kind of pay-per-click and all this stuff. It's kind of a little complicated. But there's a phone number you can call. There's a guy who's going to, walk through step by step to build this, sponsor search, the marketing.
The pay-per-click, yeah, exactly. So let's go back to the beginning on that. That was fantastic. So you've got free, marketing and free positioning for the website, and then you've also got paid. And free is based on a couple things. And you said the word search engine optimization, which means that your site looks and feels like what the person searched for, right?
Right.
Which goes back a little bit to what you said earlier. If your website is designed to tell a parent what's in it for them, and then it's very, very, it's much more likely that will match the criteria that a parent types into Yahoo or Google. And then the second thing you said, which is really, really good, is Google Local and Yahoo Local. And Google Local is still free, and it's still the most popular one. And if you're listening to the call right now and you're by your computer, or put this on pause and then go to your computer, you just go to Google and type in, karate in your city, and then hit search, and a little map will pop up. And there should be 3 to 5 results, sometimes even more, on that little map. And if you find yourself there, let's put it this way, if you don't find yourself there, there's a little button that you can click that says, know something we're missing, submit your site here. And you can submit for free. You just type in a little ad, and you can submit your website for free, and they'll put you on that map. So that if anybody in your 3 to 5 mile radius, like you were saying, searches for, you know, martial arts and your city name, you'll come up. So that's brilliant, and it's free, and everybody should immediately go do it right now, because it's a guaranteed way to get into the top part of the results, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
So that's free. And then search optimization, you know, search engine optimization is a topic we could talk about for 10 years. So your solution to that was go find somebody competent and hire them, which is a great solution. I'm a stupid geek about that stuff. I mean, I will go and study the stuff until 7 o'clock in the morning, and then start over again. You know what I mean? I'm a geek about this stuff. So I've studied the topic quite in detail. But your solution is much better. So you know,
but the thing is, that, you know, it's good to have, you know, geek like in our industry. You know.
Yeah, big plus
in our industry.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt. But anyway, so search engine optimization is something that basically what that means is that your website says the words on it many times that you want a person to be able to find you. So if you're teaching karate for 7-year-olds in New Jersey, then your webpage should have those words in it as many times as you can put it in there, karate for 7-year-olds in New Jersey, that sort of thing.
That's right.
So we'll talk more about that. That's a whole other topic that, you know, is a whole other topic.
Right.
But the second part that you said is paid traffic. So now you're actually paying Google, you're paying Yahoo, either per click or a flat fee, for people to be able to find you. And your solution to that was just call the 800 number and have them walk you through it, which I think is brilliant. Too many people get buried in the details and they can't figure the thing out.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about your pay-per-click campaign. You have a very sophisticated pay-per-click campaign. And tell us a little bit about how you implemented that and the type of tracking that you get with that and the type of results that you've been getting.
Some of the things is kind of hard to track this, track this result. But one of the good things is that my staff members, when we receive the phone call when I receive the web leads, and then I just, you know, calculate it as a whole web leads. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to do it with the Google. I mean, it seems like there's a tools on Google's, and that part, you know, I still don't know how to figure it out. But anyway.
Maybe go ahead and post that question up on the board, and I'll help you out with that. There's some very easy tools on Google Analytics that will actually track your pay-per-click conversion for you. But that's certainly valuable information you might want to know.
Oh, okay. That's great. Yeah, I definitely want to do that. And what I do on this, that's a Google AdWords. And Yahoo is a search marketing, a sponsor search marketing. That's used to be the Overture.
Exactly.
And then the Google, I don't have the exact number. In the Yahoo, in case of the Yahoo, I spent last year in 2007, I spent about $2,100 per whole year for this mm-hmm. Yahoo search marketing, the cost. So which is about little less than $200 per month.
Mm-hmm.
But the generating these leads from this Yahoo and Google, and then I just took a look at this stats. 20% of my leads, 20% of my leads came from this Yahoo and Google, the web leads.
Brilliant.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
And I used to pay, let's say, $700 a month, $800 per month, or $900 per month for just the yellow pages, but that's generating the leads only, what, like 5%?
Right.
You know, less than 5% of the leads whole year. But when you compare that, this is, you know, low cost and the better result of the generating the leads.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me put one warning into the field real quick here. Number one is remember, the big key to making all this stuff work isn't to just go to Google and open up a pay-per-click account. The key number one is your website has to convert traffic into new students very effectively.
Exactly.
So when a visitor gets to your page, you know, Google Analytics is a great tool to do this, but when a visitor actually gets to the page, at what rate do they click into your offer? At what rate do they opt in for your newsletter, whatever it may be. So you have to have very tight numbers on that. You have to have a very good perspective of that. Some school owners, Master Yi, they'll hear, you know, $2,000 a year, $200 a month, and they'll hit the roof and say, well, there's no way I could spend that much money on search engine marketing. Well, I mean, if you had 600 students plus or minus, you probably enrolled, you know, 400 or 500 last year. If 20% of those came from Google, that'd be about 100 students. So what's 100 students worth to you? You know, if you basically paid $2,000 to get 100 students. So certainly the return on investment is very, 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 very much worth it. But again, number one factor is your website has to convert the leads into new students very readily.
That's right.
And then you can spend money to drive traffic there, and there's no problem. So that's very cool. And the second thing, too, is, and I'm sure you know this, but for any of the listeners, on pay-per-click, even on Yahoo, Google, all those sources, you can set a daily spending limit or a monthly spending limit.
Right.
So if I'm a small school, I can set my limit to $1 a day or $1 a month, you know, depending on what package I have. And you don't have to spend, you know, that much money. I'll tell you, our budget last month, Jason, was we spent $11,000 on pay-per-click advertising. And in 1 month, you're, you know, an AMA, and very, very, very worth it. You know, I mean, it's all about how much that lead is worth. So I think that's a great perspective for everybody to have. Just make sure, number one, is that the website is converting the leads. You can't drive traffic to, you know, you can't have a, it's sort of like the best way to kill a bad movie is with good marketing, right? So you can't market your way out of a website that doesn't convert very well. So very good.
Exactly. It's like a website. It has to be, it's like a salesperson. You know,
yes.
And so, you know, this website is working for you like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week as a salesperson. So bring this all this traffic through this, you know, search, the search marketing or AdWords or whatever. When you bring this, all these people get into your website, and then your website has to work as a, you know, a salesperson. Means
yeah.
that they have, you know, just get their name, you know, their email address, and if you can phone number, that'd be great. So at least they need to get the, you know, name and email address. That way you can, you know, you can do the follow up. You know, eventually just bring these people into your facility. That's the role of your website has to be, right?
Absolutely. It's a great point. You know, and again, you know, I've got three or four other topics I wanted to get to, but I think this is very valuable for everybody listening. What you just said is vital. There are two goals that you have for a person when they hit the website, only two. Number one is either to have them opt in, which means they give you some information about them in exchange for something, or number two, have them either, you know, fill out a form to become a student or to call you immediately and become a student. And the number one thing is, you know, how do we get them to opt in? So basically you're holding a sales presentation in front of a prospect and you're saying, okay, what can I give you that would motivate you to give me your name and email address? What's your opt-in offer, by the way, right now, Master Yi?
We offer them, you know, free trial class and free uniform, and also at the same time, there's, you know, free report of how to build a rock solid, you know, confidence for their child.
Right. So a visitor gets to your website, a little box comes up, or there's a box at the beginning of the page that says, you know, dear parent, stop right here. You can collect a free report on how to build, you know, focus and self-confidence in children, you know, 4 to 12, whatever it may be, by giving me your name and email address and clicking submit. And that's a very attractive offer to a parent in many cases. Now, the more attractive you can make that offer, the more opt-ins you'll have. Our best offer in Mile High Karate, the best converting one we've ever had, was the free DVD. So we would give them a free report and a free DVD if they opted in. And, you know, it cost us about $1.50 into the mail to get the DVD sent out to them. But the big thing is with the free DVD is that they have to give a mailing address information, which then means that they're in our contact management system for mailing now too. So exactly right. So the very first thing is try to persuade them to opt into your e-newsletter or whatever it is that you're going to use for communication. And then the second thing is you give them an offer, like you said, free couple of weeks, free uniform, whatever the offer may be, to actually have them become students.
Right.
So those are the two goals. I think that's really good. And again, you know, I didn't intend for this just to be an internet marketing call, but I think it's very, 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 very valuable information. So let's move on, Master Yi, to the next topic. you had a very interesting, obviously martial arts schools that are at a very high level like yours, generating great financial results. I have never seen a million-dollar-a-year school that doesn't have great student quality. And yours is no exception. And, you know, sometimes when we talk about big gross numbers, school owners sometimes have a visceral reaction that, well, they're only in it for the money. Well, like I said, the best way to kill a bad movie is with good marketing. And there's no way that you can have the type of longevity that you've had in your school, have nearly 600 students, and have the quality of the students that you have unless your heart wasn't in the right place. And you know, personally, I know you, and I know that to be true. Let's talk a little bit about, you had a fantastic internal referral program, and it worked really, really well because of the great relationship you have with your students. Tell us a little bit about how that program sort of worked.
The internal referral, you know, programs. Mm-hmm. One of the things, let's say, you know, in order to get the referral from the, you know, students, you know, obviously you have to have some sort of good class or service to impress the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if obviously, what if the students or parents, they're not happy about your service, you know, they're not going to do any referrals or anything like that. You know, the first thing is that you have to have, the great service. You know, the great service is not only the class, but also part of the customer service. After class, when they leave, you know, just to say something about the, you know, kids or parents. You know, what if, you know, something happened to one of the the students' family? Then you just call them and say, "How's the things going?" And, you know, kind of follow up. You know, those kind of little things too. That's mm-hmm. actually a very important thing. That's a martial arts business. So martial arts business is like it's like a person to person business. It's not like we are selling or any merchants or anything like that. So those kind of, you know, the relationship is it's critical to have a good successful martial arts school. So basically what we do is that we have I talk to all my instructors and staff members and program directors. We always, the first thing is about what the service, and mm-hmm. then once we, you know, when they, you know, happy about our service, we ask them, you know, ask them about if there's anybody who is interested in a martial arts program from the neighbors or anybody, just, you know, give us referrals. And that is from first day when the new prospect called, we are asked.
Mm-hmm.
When they enroll, we are asked.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a testing day, we ask them to bring their friends. And constantly we ask them. And also that, and one of the things that we just started, and then referral program, we put, it's like this is my program director's idea. When they bring those referrals, as you know, we just, you know, thank them. And then how about this way? We can just put a price. What if they bring their, you know, friends, like two friends and three friends, and they join the classes? We give them a prize.
Mm-hmm.
We have a point system. It's like a credit card point system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing like that. If they bring, you know, 10 friends, they join the classes, then we just give out the plasma TVs and stuff. You know, mm-hmm. we appreciate their help and to bring their friends. So that sort of things too. There's a lot of different ways we can do the referral system. And also that we have, every season we have, you know, different activities like open house party and, you know, buddy nights and other, you know, activities. At that time we ask the students to bring their friends.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I think what you said is the first key to all this, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of noise in the industry, and there's a lot of, you know, static and a lot of, you know, people talking, and sometimes the root of the message gets lost in all the noise. You can have all the referral activities you want. You can have a movie night every week. You can do a pizza party every, you know, couple days. You can do whatever you want to do. But if the relationship isn't strong with a student, then you're kind of screaming into the wind, right?
Right.
I mean, there's no one, they don't get it, you know? You can have all of these activities and do all of these things, and as you identified immediately at the beginning was, you know, unless you have that strong relationship with a student, then you know, they don't really want to bring their friends in. They don't really want to have a deeper relationship with you, you know?
Absolutely.
But, yeah, and I think you said, you know, that you had to sort of indoctrinate your staff into that culture, and it's very, very, very important. And let's talk a little bit about maybe a couple of the little details on your referral program, your credit card program, which is really cool. That's kind of what I wanted everybody to hear a little bit about. You have like a point system,
right?
And they generate points. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
This is my the program director's idea, and it seems like it's a great idea. What happened is this: we used to have the referral contest the last couple of years, and then when they, you know, we give out, you know, that's a certain period of time, which is, let's say 2 months, whoever bring more the friends and they join the classes and they get the prize.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of periodically we do this kind of referral contest. But this time, what we do is that we keep the record. If, you know, whoever bring their friends, they get the points. And then they join, and then that person joined the class, and they get and then they get the extra points. And these points get they get this coin. I mean the points. Let's say two people. They bring the two people. Then extra, you know, they get all these points, right? Up to certain points. When they reach, for example, let's say when they bring the friends, they get the, you know, let's say 5 points. The day during the program, they get the 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
If they bring, let's say, 10 people, then automatically their points is about, what, about 250 points. Then those 250 points, they get the plasma TV.
Mm-hmm.
And 200 points, they get the, you know, the laptop. 175 points, they get, you know, other, you know, kids, some of the games and stuff like that. You know, I don't have all these detailed things with me right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but
that's
but
the kind of basic
the
idea.
Lesson was.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you said exactly what the lesson was. So you've got a student who is being rewarded, number one, just for bringing somebody in.
Right.
So they get 5 points, and whatever they can do with those points as they accumulate, you can have a sliding scale of benefits or gifts or whatever it is that you want to do for them.
Right.
But they're sort of being recognized just for doing the effort. You know, just for bringing somebody in. And then if their friend actually enrolls in the school, they get a bunch more points. And I think your multiple was 4. So they get 1 point, let's say, for bringing someone, 4 for if they enroll. So in your case, 5 and 20, but the same ratio.
Right.
And then you have some really cool prizes. I mean, you've got some really cool stuff that, you know, probably mom and dad want, right?
Exactly. That's one of the things that I realized is that you can do buddy referral programs two different ways. Number one, you can do this referral program for kids. So you can hand out a whole bunch of, you know, good-looking cards or VIP cards and all this stuff. So then kids take these cards to their, and hand out to their friends and bring their friends and have some fun with, on buddy days and this stuff like that. Another way you can do referral program, you can appeal to the parents. This type of, you know, the prize, you know, attract the parents bringing and talking to their neighbors or their friends. So that's another a strong way to bring their referrals.
Absolutely.
To the parents, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge thing to identify. I mean, again, there's a lot of noise, and a lot of school owners and people in the industry say, yeah, you know, just have a buddy day and give away an Xbox. Well, that's cool, and it is really cool. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's definitely a cool prize to have in your referral system and all that sort of thing. But you sort of took it to the next level, and the next level is, well, let's see here. It's cool to have the students excited about this thing, but how do we get mom and dad excited about it too? You know,
right.
And I think that's a perfect step. You know, the this is a little bit of an aside, but it's on the same type of a subject. Is the non-relevant bonus?
Mm-hmm.
We as you know, and I'm sure many of the listeners know, Stephen Oliver and is part of Dan Kennedy's Platinum Group, and which is a mastermind group of people in all sorts of different businesses, all sorts of different industries. And one of the members is Dr. Tom Warren. He's a dentist, and he has a huge network of information meetings for dentists. And one of the biggest referral-generating tools that they've ever used in any of his dental practices was a 3-tiered referral reward program that as you're sitting in the operatorium, as you're sitting on the chair, It's right in front of you. You know, it's on a big shelf that hangs exactly at eye level when you're laying back in the chair. And it has three prizes. One prize is a discount or a gift certificate for services. You know, so it's, you know, get a free cleaning or whatever it may be, right? A discount on actual services. The second prize was a $200 electric toothbrush thing, Sonic thing or whatever, right? But the third prize was a $150 gift certificate to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Well, yeah, it's irrelevant, right? It's not relevant to the practice. It's not relevant to the business. But, you know, which one do you think pulled better? The steakhouse gift certificate outpulled the other two by 400%.
Right,
you
definitely.
Because it's not necessarily related to the topic, but it's kind of a cool other thing that you can get. You know, it's like, oh well, that's really interesting. You know, I want the plasma TV. You know, it's a very cool tweak. Okay, great. Well, listen, a couple more topics I wanted to kind of cover with you, and it's been extremely valuable for, I think, school owners so far. And next is, you're obviously one of our charter members in our Inner Circle group, and we've really, you know, enjoyed having you in the group, and you've been a great contribution to some of the smaller school owners and a great member of the structure that way. Tell me a little bit about what you feel about the group so far, what you've accomplished so far, what your experience has been so far, and sort of what your thinking was that kind of caused you to become part of that thing.
The Inner Circle group, it's working great. I mean, I'm so happy to have opportunity to join this group. One of the most important things for me and having a network with other successful school owners, so that way, and then I can, you know, we can share their knowledge and experience each other. And another important thing is that we can just motivate each other. You know, running the martial arts school is one of the, you know, most important things that I would say that, you know, motivations, daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then what we, in our group, and we have a meeting, we had the first meeting in, last month, and then from that meeting, you know, what happened is that I've got, like, thousands of different ideas, and on top of that, I have, this motivation, it's a high-rocketing motivation.
Mm-hmm.
This motivation is, you know, it's priceless. You know, it's and this is really priceless.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, something that I've been looking for, and it's been working great. And
sure.
So on this the forum, we just put all these our questions. We just put in the questions, and everybody share their experience, so we get the, you know, better idea about how to solve our, you know, the problems and stuff. On top of that, and sometimes we make a phone call. Actually, I talked to Master Everson yesterday.
Beautiful.
Oh yes, and on the phone, and we just talk about it, and we just motivate each other. And I probably, you know, to stop by his school sometime in next month and see how he does, and take a look at, you know, have a chance to take a look at his school, and also he's coming down at my school as well.
Beautiful.
So,
yeah,
this is great. I mean, this is, you know, I've been looking for this type of a network, and this is exactly something I've been looking for.
Yeah, you know, I think there's three big things, and you identified two of them. Number one is you've got other successful school owners. Now, these guys in the room aren't, you know, for lack of a better term, they're not part-time recreational martial artists who are running a school in their backyard, right? These guys are all mostly over $500,000 a year in gross revenue.
Right.
You know, mostly over 200 students, you know, plus or minus, much over 200 students, mostly, actually there's several multi-school owners, and everybody is extremely focused on high-quality students, and lots of them, right?
Right.
And creating a solid business, creating a really strong school. And it's very rare that you can, as an independent business owner, as a small business owner, it's very rare that you can find a group of people like that that can kind of, like, you know, show you what their experiences and their failures have been, and you're doing the same thing for them, so it's extremely valuable. But then the other thing, too, and I wanted you to maybe shed some light on this. You know, as a school owner, we have a lot of good ideas, and we have a lot of resources to be able to find education and do things like that. But ultimately, you're kind of left to your own device, right? You're kind of left on your own to implement. And I think one of the values of this type of a group is we've got, you know, 15 really sharp guys who aren't going to let you make excuses next month if you didn't do the things you said you were going to do. How do you feel about that? Well, what do you think about the nature of that type of a relationship?
I'm sorry, what is it again? Could you? I didn't catch the right things. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It's you've got a group of really sharp guys now, and the culture of the group now is no excuses. So if one of the members of the group had to make an improvement in their intro ratio, and this is how they were going to do it, and we help them solve that problem, now they can't come back in, you know, in 2 months and say, well, I still have this problem with my intro ratio because I didn't do anything, right? We sort of take that option away from them. Do you feel that that's a valuable activity? Do you feel that's sort of a valuable use of their time?
You mean that once we have a meeting and we, let's say, try to solve the problem and then we go back to their own school, and then we try to implement, you know, whatever the idea they get get from this meeting, I'm sorry, I didn't finally get.
It's the fact that as small business owners and entrepreneurs, we very rarely have somebody to hold us accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the functions of all of you guys working together. How valuable do you feel that is for anybody that wants to push their business forward?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's very important. I mean, to me, from that, you know, gathering and meeting, or this teleconference, and we get all these ideas, and then we're trying to get, you know, the result, a better result, and then come back and sit down and think about, you know, each one of them. We can check then each one of them have what type of a result they get.
Right.
And I guess that's a very, very valuable thing to you know, all the Inner Circle members.
Yeah.
To get the better result.
Yeah. Absolutely, and to have someone to kind of hold your feet to the fire a little bit, if you know, when you need that, because that tends to be a big issue. A lot of times we find a tool and we forget to go use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
We sort of find an answer to the solution, but then forget to go implement. And it's one of the things that one of our goals is not to let that happen. So that's
right.
Fantastic. You know what, Jason, our line is going to cut us off in about 6 minutes.
Okay.
So we're quickly running out of time. But I had one more sort of area I wanted to kind of talk to you about a little bit. Since you're in a 5,600 square foot location, you've got you know, 560 students. Tell me a little bit about your staff development program. One of the things that we uncovered a few weeks ago on a call was Chuck Crone, one of our members, was in a very bad car accident and was forced into the sidelines. He was forced off the floor and forced into sort of a passive role as far as the teaching went in his school. And he indicated that was one of the most valuable things that had ever happened to him, because it forced him to watch from the parent's perspective, the class, and to sort of take a bird's eye view of the operation of his school. And he started to think about what the student experience was more than being kind of buried in the class, not seeing from the outsider's view what it looks like. And you've got a very strong staff, and you've got some very talented individuals that are working with you over there. Tell me a little bit about your staff development program, and if I'm a school owner who wants to be where you are, maybe I'm $30,000 a month or $20,000 a month or something like that, and I want to be at $1 million-a-year school, I'm very confident that staff development and generating instructors is a huge part of that mix. Tell me a little bit about how your system works and how that evolved. What did it take to sort of get you from where you were to where you are?
Staff development, yes, actually that's one of the most, you know, critical part of operating the school, and in order to grow one level to another. And most of the school, you know, school, and then I was like, and then I started, you know, from nothing. Up to this far was that I'm very lucky to, you know, meet one of my staff. Actually, he's a, you know, key member, my key instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gave him as role as a program director. So that way, then I can do my stuff, teach. I'd be able to focus on my, you know, the teaching part. He can, you know, doing this all this enrollment and the renewal part. So what I'm trying to say is that the staff development is this. It has to be the ongoing staff development. If you don't need any of the staff, then you don't, you know, you're not looking for any of staff. You know, I believe that's kind of a mistake, because you still have to, you know, look for, or, you know, have a, some sort of a system that develop your staff members from your, you know, leadership team, or from, you know, some parents actually, and just to anybody. And once you have your staff, and I believe that's, you know, training the staff, it's very, very important. And you have your own way to operate in the school, and your staff members their own way to, you know, operate it to school, then obviously the school is not going to be successful. So try to make your staff members like think, let them think like you think, let them do like you do, you know. And that's, if they can do it like that, and the school, it's going to be very, very successful. So staff training is very, very critical and important.
Right. Well, tell me a little bit of a couple of the details. How do you sort of, starting from when I'm a white belt, let's say, or I'm a brand new student, how do you sort of develop that person to become an instructor one day? What do your systems look like in order to do that? I mean, obviously with, you know, 550 students in a $1 million school, it's not by happenstance, right? You don't stumble across, you know, someone when they're a brown belt and say, oh, hey, you look like you might be a good instructor. It's sort of a development process, right?
Right.
So tell me a little bit about how that works in your school.
Our staff, let's say, all my staff members, we're talking about the staff members as a paid instructors.
Mm-hmm.
And they, this is basically what we do. Most of them are my students. And they started training with us, and they went through up to the black belt level. And this is what happened. Every testing time, myself and my other staff member, we just tried to evaluate each student's their progress, their attitude, and their enthusiasm. And based on that, we're going to make some of the, you know, candidates to, you know, future instructors.
Right.
And some of them are qualified to our leadership team members, and then they can, you know, go to the leadership team members. And actually, most of them, whoever qualified, they can go to the leadership team in training. And
okay. Let me kind of stop you there. Just
okay.
Pause for a second. I think that's brilliant. So every exam, you're evaluating your entire student list.
Right.
And you're trying to see who has sort of the aptitude and the attitude to fit into your leadership program. At about what phase in my training do you start with this sort of design for whether I fit leadership or not?
I would say from intermediate level or after the intermediate level, which is they usually training after about a year later.
Okay.
And then we can see, you know, who can be our, you know, the leadership training members. You know, we try to see the candidates.
I'm sure. And this is for your instructor training. Okay,
right.
Perfect. Okay, sounds good. So then what happens next? Let's say I reach that level and I've been evaluated and you feel that this is something that I'm ready for. What happens next?
The first focus is that we need to have them achieve the black belt.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they achieve the black belt, usually takes about, you know, about 2.5 to 3 years. And after they reach the black belt, and then until then, of course, and they can come to our leadership training class.
Mm-hmm.
And after they reach the black belt, and then they be able to come to the floor and be able to assist the class. They're not an instructor; they're just assistant. And from that time, you know, we give them a whole lot of different, you know, training as a assistant instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about another, you know, about 2 to 3 years, and then after that we have another program. You know, as a becoming an instructor's program, and that they can just become an instructor. And at that time, with their the ability to perform their the martial arts, and also another important thing is that ability to help other, you know, students, which is they have to have a patient, and they have to have those, you know, people friendly kind of mind, and only those students they be able to become a, you know, part-time instructor.
Good. So you're pretty early on in their training, identify whether they have the aptitude and attitude, and you're doing that by every exam evaluating the student body, which
right.
is if I take something away from the call about internal leadership development in my school, that's it. Every exam you should be evaluating, and you're doing this with 560 students. So if I'm a single school operator and I have 120 students, there's no excuse for not, you know, very thoroughly evaluating every student every exam, right? I mean, there just isn't a reason not to do that.
Right.
And you know, speaking with their parents and, you know, making sure that everybody's on the same page with what their outcomes are going to be.
Right.
Okay, so you're identifying that very early, and then you're putting them into a leadership development program where they're sort of learning the skills to be a teacher, but they're not really being a teacher yet.
Right.
And then as they approach and achieve black belt, then they have the option to actually become a focus on the floor. Is that all sound accurate?
Right, that's correct.
Okay, brilliant. I think that's very strong. So it's not left to chance. It's not accidental. It's not when somebody, you know, perks up and raises their hand. You're aggressively sorting the student body and developing the ones who you feel have the aptitude for, and the ones who don't, I'm sure that they, you know, that their program is designed for suiting their needs too. So,
right.
So I think that's a great takeaway. I think it's a great system to try to replicate in our schools.
Right.
Okay, brilliant. Jason, our line is going to cut us off in about a minute. So
okay.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I know all of our members got a lot out of the call today. And we'll be talking again in a few weeks. I think you're going to be out in Denver.
Oh, yes,
is that right?
I'll be there with my
trip?
Program director. Yes, sir.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, you definitely want to do that. Let's take 10 seconds to talk about that for just a minute. Master Yi asked the question about an upcoming event that we have and whether he should bring his staff members or not. And certainly, you know, you're more than welcome to do that, and we really want you to. There was one word of caution that I sort of gave him, and it was anytime we bring our staff members to a training or to a seminar or a session or a conference or anything like that, you have to do a little bit of pre-framing, and then you have to do a little bit of reprogramming after the event's over. And this might be valuable for everybody. Remember that sometimes they don't hear the same things that you heard. So it's very important for you to have great communication with those type of people and to make sure that they understand what your outcomes are intended to be about being at the session and that they're in line with that. So I think that's an interesting perspective on staff, but anyway, so thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate that, and we'll be talking really, really soon. And for anybody listening to the call, thanks for joining us, and thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. This is Toby.
Thanks so much.
I'll talk to you
soon.
Later. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.